that I might be what I was born to be.
Boy, don't you like that song? Is that the truth? Yeah, let's stand up. Give him thanks, and let's sing it one more time. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus to sit in your presence and behold your beauty and listen to your voice. Oh, what a different walk. To receive word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept. The glory of you. Somehow, when we hear your voice, even as we behold your glory, he said, I'm bringing you to glory also. Many of you. Father, giving us eyes to see, ears to hear. We are so blessed. Because this is the thing that holds us, and this is the thing that keeps us, and this is the thing that builds us. This is the thing that transforms us. A power that the world knows nothing of, power of revelation, power of becoming. Oh, Father, how do we ever thank you enough? But we ask with every one of us from the depth of our hearts, receive our love back to you, receive our thanksgiving back to you, receive our adoration and our worship back to you, and receive our submissive hearts back to you, Lord. Grant it, Father, now you be king over all of us now, even this place, this time. You have the preeminence, Lord, is what our prayer is as we come to meet with you under the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Be glorified. We ask in his precious name, the name that above all names, the name that we love more than anything, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. Wow, some brave ones weathered the storm. Janelle, I can't believe it. You did it with a storm coming. Now, that's a miracle. Hi, Brother Daniel. Virginia, okay? Thank you, Jesus. All is well. I'd like to thank you all for your love and your prayers for Mary. And it was quite a week, a few days just to fill you in a little things, what was going on that sort of started when she was at her oncologist and receiving an IV drip for her bones. You know how ladies with age have osteoporosis, and then hers is sort of a double whammy there. So they were doing on this, and they noticed her blood pressure was sky high, over 200, 201. You know, and they said, oh, you know how they do. So they said, you go home and monitor for a few days. So we did, and thank you, Brother Derek. And I can't remember even what day that was. Anyway, towards the end of the week, we kept watching, and it was high, so we thought we'd better go in and have it checked. So last Saturday, went. And they said, you better go get to urgent care, and they went to urgent care, and they said, no, we don't deal with that here. Go to the ER. And so we went to the ER, and their eyes got big, and they said, oh, we're hearing something that's going on in your heart. And we don't have a clue what that was, but it was more than just blood pressure. So they put a heart monitor on her, and every few seconds it sends signals to the cardiac department of North Memorial. Well, fast forward Tuesday evening, call from North Memorial. You've had some episodes in your heart. Half hour later, more episodes in your heart. Later in the evening, get to the ER. Don't go to sleep. Get there. Go now. Okay. So we went again. That was Tuesday, about 11, wasn't it? You know, we were there for about 2 or 3 days, and it seemed like 3 weeks. You know how the time goes when you're hearing beeping a monitor every second, you know. So again, they started using words that made you cry out to the Lord, you know, heart, blood pressure, heart failure, on, you know. So we didn't know really what was going on. But they finally saw that the top of her heart was not communicating with the bottom of her heart. So the electrical impulses that we all have weren't working. And so they said, you need a pacemaker put in. And then the pacemaker has probes that go down into the different areas of your heart. Do you know what? Isabel, are you going to be a nurse? When I was little, my mom cut her finger opening a can of coffee one time, and she said, would you go get me a Band-Aid? And I took a look at the blood coming out of her finger, and I about fainted. She said, promise me you'll never be a doctor. So, not very good at those things myself. So back to Tuesday night, they admitted her and kept monitoring. Her blood pressure was around 200, 189, 200, which is, you don't know if you're going to have a stroke any minute or what's going on. And then her heart pulse was down in the 40s, never got above the 40s, and it went down into the 30s. And the cardiologist came into the room and said, man, did you give us a scare? You know, and I thought, you know, you go and you pray, and you, the vision, the story of Brother Branham with a couple whose son was dying kept coming back to me. And the machines were saying the son was dying, and the nurse was saying the machines are saying the son is dying. And the husband and wife said, I'm not looking at the machines. There you go. We look at the Lord. And so we were all praying and believing. We saw the hand of the Lord in so many ways, all through this, but He brought us through. So thank you, Jesus. You never know. This is like Brother Randy with his heart attack, and all of a sudden there he is in the ER, and there he is putting a stint in. And, you know, I'm sure that night, you know, I think Sister Linnell said they felt the presence of the Lord. Those things become very real in a very real time. And no matter what you think or believe in church, doesn't matter when you're on the spot, it's there, and there you stand. So, all right. I know it's a storm day, and when was it? It was Wednesday afternoon, sir, when they finally took her down to surgery and got the pacemaker put in. So then things started to stabilize. Her pulse went immediately from the 40s to the 60s and 70s, and because that was taken over to beat for her. And still blood pressure problems. So we were hoping to come home Thursday morning. And we got up, the nurse came in about 5:30 in the morning and we're going to check your blood pressure. 239 or something. I mean, I said, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom real quick. I went to the bathroom and locked the door and had a good old shouting match with the enemy. And I refused to believe these machines. Get thee behind me, and battle becomes very real. Yeah. So I got back to the room, and blood pressure was down. Next one was 188, and then 160s. But they're still trying to regulate the meds. That's, you know. So you see the hand of the Lord, because we went to her primary care doctor, and they said, well, you're at our age. You have to start out low doses. And we found out that was about a third of what she needed. She needs about three times that, even to bring it down in the 150s. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Okay, but there's a lot of stuff going on inside of us. So we know that our life is in the hands of the Lord, all of us, every one of us. It's we're challenged, right, Karen? Every day. But he puts us in this place, and this brings us right back to where we're at, of resting in the Lord. And that's what I wanted to get into today in Hebrews chapter 4, because that rest is a critical. And something that Brother Branham says when you read the the beginning of the seventh seal. And he goes first into Revelation chapter 7, which is, and he makes such an incredibly and beautiful and total revelation. That Revelation chapter 7 is strategically placed. God, in the middle of the seals, goes through all of the seals, and then he comes up to the seventh seal. But before he gets to the seventh seal, he he spends literally quite a bit of that sermon on the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says this is strategically placed because the seventh seal is perfection as we know of and finishing of everything. And before that could happen, the strategically placed 12 tribes. And notice what he says. The tribes of Ephraim and Dan, he says, now nothing on earth. But he says, did you catch that? Nothing on earth. But he says, go back to Ezekiel like he does. And in the book of Ezekiel, there is Dan and Ephraim, and everything is in their perfect. It's gone back to the original. In other words, total restoration. And I think that is so critical for us to understand the seventh seal. It had to be there. It had to be that example. It had to have something that actually happened, and it couldn't happen on earth, but it happened in heavenly places. There, you guys, is where we are right now. Our eyes, our hearts, our everything have to be transferred out of this realm into that realm. And Hebrews chapter 4 is strategically placed, because chapter 1 is all about the Son. Chapter 2 is how great a salvation is in the Son and what that Son is to us. Chapter 3 goes into you. Now, don't make the same mistakes that happened in Israel. Chapter 4 is you have, some must enter into this rest. Okay? And there is this rest, and that has to happen before he takes us into chapters 5 and 6 and the perfection. And that's still where we're headed. But I've asked you this question many times. We are called. To what are you called? How far is he calling you to? So we go back in the sample examples, going clear back, okay, to Exodus chapter 6 again and again and again, looking at Hebrews 3 again and again and again. That word, if you hold the confidence, if you hold the rejoicing in God, in his Son, in what he's doing through his Son for you, then you will be one of those that he builds, but you will only be done by hearing his voice. No other way. So, how many are hearing his voice in this last day? Correct? Not very many, you know. So the very fact that that voice, that he, the vocal cords he chose to borrow and speak through in this day, and we hear his voice and we're being taken, but here we are again in this strategic place that has to be settled in every single one of us. Let's go once again back. Settled what? Settled how? Spoken word is the original seed. Listening to the prophet. Why was he so settled? What was in him that would not shake him? Here's the question for every one of us. What shakes you? What moves you away from the word into the situation? What brings fear instead of faith? Okay? What happens in my eyes and your eyes? What is the situation that says, oh, this is going to be bad. Oh, this is going to be terrible. Oh, you know what? Hey, listen. Every single beat of our hearts is in the hand of the Lord. Is that right? Okay? So what if he chooses to take me home right now? Sudden glory. What do I have to fear? Nothing. But no matter what, here's the thing. Brother Branham, when he was moved to the first man, nothing would shake him. Okay? And he had some hard experiences to go through. Now, something even this morning, going back, what causes us to go into bondage to this realm? Hebrews 2, okay? Would you turn there with me? I'm a little bit scattered, but I've been scattered all week, so if you would please kindly bear with me. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'm going to ask you a question. How about Jesus being man? When was he finally delivered from the fear of death? Garden of Gethsemane, right? Stop and think about that. Because Hebrews, isn't it, chapter 5, said he was heard in that he, what? Feared. True or not true? Okay? But he says, I will not let fear bring me in to the bondage of this realm. I will trust in my God. So there, in the hardest of times, in the most trying of times, you watch it, brothers and sisters, God will be silent. And his silence is a message to you that you have come to a point where I will trust you. Please listen to this. Okay? Jesus, to keep us and to deliver this from this bondage that brings us to the bound to this realm, I got to do something. I have to put it in my own hands. I have to make sure, come on, we're going back to Israel again. It's hot, it's dry. God is not here, I'm being tried. True or not true? Isn't that their thoughts? Okay, I have to do something. Every single time, I have to do something. I'll build a calf. I'll build this. I'll build that. I'll do this. Oh, you know what? I believed God, but now, hey, look at all these little darling women around bringing us back into the bondage of this realm, and maybe, oh, they're so sweet and they're so kind, and maybe their Philistine gods aren't so bad after all. And I got something I can touch, and I got something I can look at because I can't find God, and I can't touch him, and I can't look at him, so where did he go? Are you with me on these things? Do you see the criticalness that we have to go beyond being taken over where we can be to deliver us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage? I'm in trouble. Oh, you know, my bank account's going to nothing. Oh, I better do so. Oh, you know, look what's going to happen. Well, all my security is gone. Well, why did God ever tell you to put your security in your own work? Who is our provider? So do you see the subtlety of the enemy trying to get our hands off of this realm, or get off of his realm, the enemy trying to get our eyes, putting him into that realm? So here, Jesus had to go to look at what he had to go through to deliver us. He had to experience the same thing that you and I experience, and that's why he is our intercessor, and he understands everything we can go through, everything. Tempted in every way, but he was heard in that he feared, right? Did he let that fear turn away what God had called him to do? There's it. That's it right there. Let me ask you again. Did he let the fear that he was experiencing? Oh, come on, you guys. Okay? All right, Pete, there's a bunch of Roman soldiers coming for you tonight, and you know exactly what's ahead of you. What would be going through you? What would be going through your head? Russ? No fear? No nerves? Huh? Okay, and you're going to be before the whole countryside, world around you. You're going to be stripped. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be beaten until you can't be recognized. Okay? And you're going to be nails pierced through you. You're going to die a miserable death. Tell me you're not going to be affected. Okay. Can we get there? Now, looking at all of these things, the Lord brought me back to a message. And he said, pick it up, knoweth it not again. Okay? Because here is the key. What did God do through his prophet to get him moved to the first man where he could be preeminent? What did he do to Jesus? What did he do to Peter? What did he do to Paul? What did he do to all of them? Tried them severely, okay? But they had to go into this place that we are facing now in Hebrews chapter 4 of entering into his rest. So if a giant or a maniac comes in the room and says, Hoffman, I'm going to kill you, I can stand there like Brother Branham, unmoved. Somebody walks in and says, Russ, I'm going to shoot you. You can stand, hey, my life is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did Brother Branham say to the maniac? And he tells you later in different places that he had killed other pastors, he hated them, and he had sent many to the hospital, right? So was that a real threat? Would it cause real harm? Would it cause real pain? Did it move him? It did not move him. That's the confidence in the Word of God that we got to get to, right there. That's Hebrews chapter 4. That's the rest that we must enter before we go on to perfection, to Hebrews 5 and 6. Going on to perfection. So, are you with me so far? Am I okay? Let's just do something real quick. A couple little things. Let's take a text for this morning, two things. Out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, these words are words of a man who overcame the fear and was overcomer. Okay, would you stand with me? Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. These, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's him. What does it say about him? He is the faithful and what? What? Witness. Would you like that to be said of you? Would you like to have that epitaph on your gravestone? Faithful and true witness. What's the second phrase? The beginning of the creation of God. Now, okay, I'm going to be reading on that today, and that's you now. Okay? So let's go back to the book of Ephesians. And let's go to chapter 4. So we know about the fivefold ministry. So we'll read verse 12 to 15. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up, or the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith. There's only one revelation, and that's God's. There is no other revelation. So we are all going to come by his grace, by his work, into his revelation, the unity of the faith. There's just one. There is no other. Everything else apart from that is man-made. You with me? So through this revelation that he's giving, we will come there. Okay? Unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect or a finished man, Hebrews 12, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Am I going to be in his image? Absolutely. Verse 14, would you read it out loud with me? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. So that's the age that we're in. It's all around us. And only by grace will we go through it. So read verse 15 with me. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I sent you all a bunch of quotes to Grace Ministries after our talk, going on Hebrews chapter 3, keeping our confidence, keeping our rejoicing, thinking about the prophet, thinking about the word that has been working on me ever since several years ago, being captivated by the message spoken word is the original seed. Something inside of me has craved it. I said, I need that. I want that. I need it desperately. I'll cry for it. I'll pray for it. And I won't rest until I have it. And I came to church here and I said, I don't even know how to explain this, because you could ask me, hey, Hoffman, don't you believe the word of God? Okay, absolutely. What don't you believe about it? Nothing. I would give my life for it. Well, what are you trying to say? I'm saying there wasn't something quite the same as in me that was in the prophet. And it took me weeks and weeks pondering and praying and asking and seeking the Lord, what's the difference? And it finally came to me, to this place, nothing could shake him. Nothing could shake him. Nothing could move him. Now, you ultimately, at this point, I don't think would be moved to walk away from the Word of God. However, you and I come to situations and instances in our life where even momentarily or a day or whatever, you're shaken away, back into this realm, back into fear, back into the bondage, okay? That has to be changed. That's what we started out with today. So we asked this question a couple weeks ago, believing his word. When is his word finished? As soon as it is spoken. Now, that's a major place in Hebrews chapter 4 in coming to rest that we have to come to. That is a true revelation, okay? It's a real revelation. I sent you several quotes a couple weeks ago, and I said, Brother Branham, when it's spoken, it's as good as done, right? When he spoke, he says, I don't know how long. If it was a million years, a billion years, 5 billion years, he says it doesn't make any difference. When he spoke it, it was on its way. It was good as done, because there it was, right? And when he finished speaking everything, everything was in order, everything was in place, and everything was done so he could stop. I don't have to speak anymore. I don't have to do anything anymore, because even though it may not be appeared, it's spoken, so he came to rest. Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." Okay? What is finished? He spoke the word. Did the prophet not tell you and me that we are spoken words of God? Huh? Did he not say to us, don't say, can I make it? Say, I've already made it. Okay, did he not tell you, I saw you over there? Huh? Then the worries and the frustrations and the fears of things surrounding us should not affect us. Like they do. True or not true? Okay, so in resting, in believing that the word is finished when it's spoken, it's done. Just like Abraham. Okay? In God's mind, was Isaac already there? Huh? How long did it take in this realm? 25 years. So what? Could it not happen? Could Isaac not come? Huh? Okay? And again, we come to this glorious place in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has to wait to get man to a point that there's no way he can take any credit for it. True or not true? So Abraham's body, was it still producing the seed of life? His body is still active? How does Romans describe the body of Abraham? Good as dead, right? So he has to get to this place. Is that going to be with me and you? Russ, I'm getting you to a place. Sorry, you work all you want. It's going to be to your discredit, to your dishonor, because that's what he says in the Message Paradox, does he not? Anything you do will work to your own discredit, dishonor. So finally, he has to get me to a place and you to a place where there's no way they can take credit for it. Nothing in them. There's nothing left. Love it, don't you? Isn't that the example with Gideon? There's too many. No, you still might say we did it. Right? Get rid of them. There's still too many. Get rid of them. It has to be to a place where it looks so impossible in the natural. Are you with me? Are you starting to understand rest? Where is rest? God spoke it. I don't care. It's done. Okay. Are you with me? Now I'm going to read some quotes. Oh, this glorious message. You know, I told you, the Lord said a few years ago, pick this up. And I said, Lord, I know all this. You know, knoweth it not, they're blind, miserable, say, naked. This is denominations. I don't need to read this. I already know now. Every time I pick it up, it's just everything is beautiful and new and keeps going on. Okay. First of all, in here, he talks about the creation of God. I don't know if you caught that when you were reading it, but there's three different places that he talks about what God is doing. We read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, that Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. So here, he says, now God is a creator, and how was he ever created? Isn't that interesting? Really, you guys got to go pick this up for yourself and look at these. Because I know hearing your minds, because we're humans, not because there's something wrong with you, it's just that you're still in human flesh, and we hear a word and then our thoughts. So, go pick it up. God is a creator, and how was he ever created? But this is the beginning of the creation of God. Isn't that interesting? When God, the Spirit, was created in the form of a man, Genesis 1:3, that was God being created. God, the creator himself, becoming a creation. God, who made the dirt, made the calcium, made the potash, cosmic light, petroleums, took the thing together, created himself in the beginning of the creation of God. Okay? Amen. The amen, the final amen, means so be it, the final of God, when God completed his creation. Now, a couple pages later, he's quoting Colossians, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, there is that great being we're talking about, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, the church, that church is the very whole purpose, his church. Okay, what's the church? Oh, it's a big, beautiful building. See how rich and how much money we got. I go to church. You who are called by him out of the world to himself. Okay. Now that church, the called out, that's his very whole, I love these words, very whole purpose was the church. What's he talking about? The beginning of the creation of God is you who he calls out becoming him manifest. Now, how do we get into the church? By one spirit, we're baptized into one body. Then he starts to break down what part of me. And he says, the outside man is the flesh, and he says that's the evil one. The inside spirit is permitted by him, but not of him. So now we go to page 28. Now this is amazing. Paragraph 217. It's got to come from the inside. Oh, I got to back up. Yes, I know. Thank you for your patience. I have it in my notes here. As I get more into Hebrews chapter 4, what do we need help with? It says, come to the high priest, to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy, to find grace and help, and in time of need. I ask this question, what is that we need help with now? This is all in the same chapter, okay? Ceasing from our own works, entering into his rest, or, I say, being moved to this first man. Do you remember all that? First man, what message is that from? Knoweth it not. Explaining what Brother Branham had to go through to get him there. And when he was being moved to that first man is the time and the place where God had to get his man, where God in that man, God through that man would be totally preeminent. Or is he totally preeminent in me and you yet? Is he working on me and you to become preeminent?
Yeah.
Getting us to that first man, us being those in Hebrews 12, the spirits of just men made perfect, becoming channels of the Holy Spirit. All right. So here we go. And he's talking about, let me just, his words again, what did it do? Speaking of hope and Sharon Rose and his dad and his brother, there lies your wife, there's your babies, they're all buried. You say he's a good God, he's a healer. You made a sap out of yourself. In the natural, that's how it would appear. You can't go by anything natural. You have to go beyond the natural. You have to go beyond this realm, because in this realm, through fear of death, we'll all be subject to the bondage. Okay? Let's make our own God. Let's do what brings us comfort. You got to do it. Got to protect everything. Okay? What did it do? It was working from the outside now to the first man. Okay. Next page. He's talking about this inside man and connecting it to the creation of God. All right. The word of God shall never fail. It'll triumph, no matter what that is. I knew that there was something, listen, inside all of those reasonings. Wouldn't you like to get there? Something inside, listen, all of those emotions. What are emotions? What are reasonings going to do to you? Keep you on the outside realm. Inside all of those emotions, inside all of those reasons, everything else like that, there was an inside man that held in that hour. Nothing else could have done it. Do you hear that? Nothing else could have done it. Everything could be showed, everything could be proved that it was wrong looking at the outside. But the Word of God that was predestinated before the foundation of the world held on the inside. He goes down and he makes this incredible statement. Many think because they speak with tongues, they got the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that. Okay? There's one identification. I don't care what the emotions on the outside are like. Though the Holy Ghost does speak with tongues, but until that real, genuine Holy Spirit in there will cope with every word. If that Holy Spirit in you makes you speak with tongues, looks back there and doesn't agree with the rest, something's wrong. It's a wrong spirit. Now, here, paragraph 217, page 28. If you want to write this down, look these up. It's got to come from the inside, which is the Word, from the beginning. In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create, to bring you, take this personally, put your name there. Okay? Let me read it again. When God, in the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create and bring you into existence, you see, you started back there as a seed and work down to where you are now. And then you were all in Christ, and when Christ died, he died to redeem you. You are a part of this word. Listen to this. Part of this word, precept on a precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Not one jot or tittle will fail. How in the world can you, being a part of that word, disagree with the rest of it? I don't think you got this. But he says, the inside man, the word of God predestinated before the foundation of the world held. The inside man is the word of God. Okay? Laura, did you get that? Your soul is the word of God. Okay? What else does he say? The inside, listen to this one, is the word from the beginning. So he's identifying who you are in all of this. Now I'm going to go back a little bit. The inside man is the word of God. I'm going to, if you want to write these down, look them up. Go get this message out. It is so rich. It gets richer every day. Page 19, paragraph 135. He's talking about, he had talked about two women. One was a woman who didn't care a hoot about any religiosity, faith. She didn't care what anybody thought. She went out and became an adulterer, and she could care less. The other one was a religious woman, Miss Methodist, holy on the outside, okay, did all the right things on the outside, but she was wearing shorts and bathing suits, and Brother Branham said she will be no different before God than that other woman. Think of that. Now, that's going to turn a lot of people off on this message. Who wants a God like that? I'll make my own. So then he talks, he leaves those two women, and he brings up a young man in a scenario that this man is a young man, and he's out there in the world, and he says, okay, he's confronted by things in this realm that could ruin him. He's confronted by women dressed not right, and he's talking about what is this man going to do? Is he going to respond to the outward flesh, or will there be something on the inside to hold him? Okay. He starts here talking about who is your ultimate, the word or the church. He says, he makes a statement. He says, oh, God, help this to sink in. To me, the whole thing is wrong. God's word is the ultimate. Whatever the word says, then that's right. Then he makes a statement. Listen to me. The only way up here in this sphere is that you could ever be this little inside man. Okay? Where you could be this little inside man. What did all the pain of my life do? Bringing me to this inside man. The only way you could ever be this little inside man, you have to be foreordained because you was with God and you're a part of God. I was in my Father. Okay? You were, and I was in Christ. You were in Christ. Then he says this thing, faith does not reason at all. You leave your reason, this realm is gone. Okay, page 20, paragraph 50. Here we're back to Hebrews 3. Here we're back to Hebrews 12 that I've been trying to connect with you guys. Me becoming his dwelling place, I cannot do it without hearing his voice. Okay? So I'm using that in scriptural context, what we've talked about, to say this. Those apostles of him in that day who was ordained to life, he noted, he said, all the Father has given to me, only those, the only thing, listen, the only thing you have to do, oh my, The only thing you have to do is just make my voice known. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a powerful statement? The only thing you have to do is make my voice known because they know it. My sheep hear my voice. The voice is a word expressed. They believe it. They don't have to scientifically prove anything. There you go. Okay. Page 21, paragraph 160. Now, you tell her that's wrong to cut her hair. The Bible said so. It's wrong for her to wear those shorts. Bible said so. She would say nonsense. Why? Her ultimate is not down here in that third man, the soul, that's predestinated and sent from God, but her ultimate is her organization. Strong words. 23. Now, he keeps telling over and over, don't pay any attention to the outside realm. This is where we got to be to get to rest. Paragraph 172. What is it? This out here, this flesh and the spirit down, yet anointed, don't do it. He's talking about the man. What is this man going to do? Don't do it. Don't do it. But what will it do? It'll move right around there and hold. There it goes. First thing you know, he's trying to make a date with her. He's guilty of committing adultery, whether he touches her or not. But a genuine born-again son of God, you listen to this, you can't do it yourself. It's totally impossible. A red-blooded male to walk before a female like that without something taking place. But when there is something on the inside, the little born again something here, okay? But down on the inside of that man, this little tie post is there, and the seed of God that was predestinated before the foundation of the world, I don't care what takes place, it holds him. That's where you are. Something is there to stay. All right. I'm going to quit. I think you get the deal. What is Hebrews 4? What is it we're talking about? This. God is moving us to the inside man. Not that it's not just the inside man is there. It's not just that you have a soul. It is God predestinating you through that soul where he's totally preeminent 100% of the time. Where you're unmovable, unshakable, though you're hounded, though you hurt, though you have all kinds of health concerns, though you have all kinds of financial concerns, I don't care what it is, you're in the spoken word of God and you're there, and now you're finally in a place entering into that rest. You with me? Okay. Musicians, would you come? What an incredible message we're feeding on, brothers and sisters, huh? Yeah. You know, there's something about pain, isn't there? How many of you, you know, you got pain. I've had pain, you've had pain, we've all had pain. David, when you have pain, where does your mind go? Right to the pain. Yeah. And that pain starts to intensify. Let me ask you a question. When you have pain and you think on the pain, does the pain, Karen, get better or worse? True or not true? When you have pain and think on the pain just grows, doesn't it? Consumes you. And so when you are consumed by the pain, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, where are you? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Well, I still have the pain, so he's not there. Why aren't you working in me? Because I still have this pain. But something inside of your soul is going to transcend all of this. Jesus was heard in that he feared. Think of that. To deliver us who through fear of death are subject to the bondage, bringing us back to this realm, what can I do? Spoken word is the original seed. When it's spoken, it's done. I don't care how long it takes. You love him? Okay. What shall we sing? Hey, Derek, I'm going to let you pick it out because you don't like what I pick out, so you pick out. Brother Derek is going to pick out our song. There you go. Let's stand up. God can do anything, anything, anything. Oh, can we do it lower? I'm a little, that's too screechy for me. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but. Amen. He can save, he can keep, he can heal, and he will. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything. Amen. And Nate's going to close in prayer for us.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the surety of your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that you placed it deep down inside of us. Lord, if it was something on the outside that had to come in like that and we had to always constantly be striving for it, never find any rest, but knowing, Lord, that you've placed it there from the foundation of the world, and you are cultivating it and bringing it into a reality again, we just can rest there, Lord. Help us truly to be able to grasp that.
Thank you, Jesus.
And to walk in what you called us to, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You have an assignment. Hebrews chapter 4 and this message. Okay? Go put it on. Go read it. Go read it and listen. That's the best. God bless you all. Love you all.